Shalom Aleichem. I think tonight we have, in my humble opinion, a particularly important discussion on the Parsha. Okay, without further ado, let's start. The title of is the way to Hashem, or is it perhaps the opposite? There's a story with the Chozem Lublin that a Talmud, Chassid, obviously somebody of rank in the Chassidus, a thinker, came to the Chozem with an outline in Derech and Avodas Hashem. He had it all step by step, step by step, step by step. Excitedly, he came to the Chozem and he said, "This is the Derech, Rebbe, is it not?" And the Chozem looked at it and says, "Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful, perfect, 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 excellent, excellent, excellent. Just one thing to add." And the Chozem says, "What is that?" "The last thing to add is, and sometimes you do the exact opposite." This is not just an idea in flexibility, though it does definitely speak to that. It is that person doesn't always see, or I should better said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always reveal the picture in the same fashion. So if you do mitzvahs, that you know you have to do. But in terms of anything out of the structure of mitzvahs, in terms of which way to turn, how to do, etc., it really depends on the situation the person finds himself in. And that sometimes can shift. From the semi-amusing story, though with a lesson to it, that we saw from the Chozem, let's go to a step into the world of the awesome. It's well known, Rav Israel Tauber, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, used to talk about it as well, but it's documented that certainly at one juncture, the Nazis, Yimach Shamam, hung a paroches from an Aron HaKodesh over the entrance to the gas chambers in Treblinka. And it said on the paroches, Zehashar LaHashem Tzadikim Yavovo. And the story is told about two Jews, two precious Jews. As they approached it, they saw the paroches there, which the Nazis, Yimach Shamam V'Zichram, intended to be as a mockery to the Jews. And instead they said, "Istaka Hazoi." Indeed, it is true. Ze'ashar L'Hashem Tzadikim Avovo. And they danced in. Does that mean that's the only way? The only way to the Shar L'Hashem is through the entrance of a gas chamber? For sure not. For sure not. But sometimes it is. So let's start. Pasuk says in our parsha, "Shmartim mitzvosayim v'asisim osam ani Hashem." Guard the mitzvos, as we'll see. Right? Perhaps it's a little bit of an explanation to what "shmartim" means over here. And don't desecrate my holy name. Miniktashti, on the contrary, you should sanctify my holy name. V'soch b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem mekadishchem, for I am the Ribbono Shalom who sanctifies you. Hamotzi eschem mi'eretz Yisrael, yos lachem le'elokim, ani Hashem. The one who took you out of Mitzrayim, one who takes you out of Mitzrayim, in order to be for you le'elokim, to have my providence be above you, ani Hashem. Says the Sifse Kohen, the Shach from Tzvas, upon this pasuk, "Shmartim mitzvosai, shimru v'hamtinu." You should await, like va'aviv shamar es hadavar by Yaakov, waiting to see what was going to develop. Shimru v'hamtinu, in anticipation and expectation for him. Imasayavo, your anticipation, your expectation should be when will the opportunity for the mitzvah arrive? Quickly, quickly it should come. Kadesh Geshiavo Tia Asiya Lashma. So that when you do it, you'll do it Lashma, shame the mitzvah, not for arterial motives. In other words, your worldview should be when will I have more opportunities? When will be a sooner opportunity to be able to be Mekayim a mitzvah Hashem? If that's your worldview, if a person is waiting for the opportunity to be Mekayim mitzvah, what he'll do it with eagerness, he'll do it with excitement, he'll do it with ava, he'll do it with desire to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Hashem. Zova sisim osam ani Hashem. Lefish ani Hashem. Kol m'lishmi. Do it for my name, do it for my sake, do it lishma. Do it to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Hashem. The Lord and not desecrate my name. How did this desecration take place? When you don't do the mitzvah in order to fulfill the ratzon of Hashem, your creator, the source of your identity, the source of your being, but you have an ulterior motive, whatever it happens to be, it can range from the sublime to the ridiculous, but you have some sort of ulterior motive for doing it. You're using this mitzvah for your own personal gain. You are b'mechal, you're desecrating, you're using it for your own personal benefit. It's like a person taking hekdesh and using it for his purposes. Shamitzvah shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For the name, for mitzvah is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't want to get lost in this new space piece over here. It's an important discussion, but certainly not for now. My mitzvah, atbash, is what yudke vavke. In other words, we know that there's a system, just like there's a system of arranging subatomic particles and atomic particles and putting molecules and compounds, etc. They can put together in different ways, different bonds, the ionic bonds, the covalent bonds. You arrange them different ways. So too the aleph bays. Aleph bays can be arranged in different fashions. There's the standard aleph bays, gimel, dalet, hey, vav, that we're familiar with. And then there are combinations of letters. Albam, aleph attached to lamed, bays to mem, associations. And there's something called atbash, where the aleph bays is split into two. And one comes top down, aleph bays, gimel, dalet, etc. And the another one goes bottom up. Tav, Shin, Reish, Kuf, Tzadi, etc. In the world of Atbash, the letters Yud and He are Mem and Tzadi, right? Mem Tzadi, Mem turns into Yud, right? Tzadi turns into He. It's very easy to see. Certainly with Tzadi and He, you don't have to concentrate too much, right? He is the fifth letter from the top. Tzadi is the fifth letter from the bottom. It's a way of using the aleph bays, atbash. At any event, they that are represented by the mem and the tzadis, atbash, creates, yeah, yudke, and mitzvah ends with vavke. And the idea being there is the aspect, or the aspects of the mitzvahs that are hidden, and there are the aspects of the mitzvahs that are revealed. Okay, close parenthetical phrase, really. I probably should have left it out entirely, but it's a point to ponder. You can think about it. He says, "In came motzi shmo lachul lefanei shalachem, right? Lapniyah shalachem. In other words, when you're using the mitzvah for your ulterior motives, people will look at me being chashuv, people think I'm a tzaddik. You know, Hashem is going to give me even a big reward, right? Because remember, it says, 'Al tu kavadim sham chibes arav al manos lekabel pras.' You can even turn olam haba into an ulterior motive." You're doing it because you want to do the Ratzon Hashem. You want to be attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam, do his will. That's what you want to do. So that being the case, if a person is doing it shmart mitzvosai, he's looking forward, he is anticipating in expectation to become the mitzvah Hashem, wants to do the Shema, then he sanctifies Hashem's name. And if he has ulterior motives, so then, unfortunately, God forbid, he can be guilty of being machal, the Shem Hashem, because the word mitzvah itself is a form of expression, the Shem Hashem. Fine. Further. which we just mentioned, Mishnah from Antignus, Soho from Pirkei Avos. Don't serve Hashem in order to receive some reward which is cut off in your connection to Hashem. Pras is something cut off, like a prusat lechem. Says the Tiferes Yonos and Rabbi Yonos and Apeshitz. Says Musa al Yisrael kim yasu mitzos v'chol zos lo yeh lehem tov ol mazeh al Yisrael mu. On this same pasuk, on the pasuk u'shmarte mitzvosai v'asisim asamani Hashem lo sechalu Hashem kachiv niktashti b'sani Yisrael ni Hashem kadishchem. Says Rabbi Yonos and Apeshitz. These psukim are associated with what? With this, what's the relationship of fulfillment of the mitzvahs, not being machal shem shamayim. Don't be machal shem shamayim. So we know you're over an avera in public, etc. There are 10 Jews there. Dunra, you're machal shem shamayim. Why have a prelude to shmartim mitzvosai v'asisem osama ni Hashem? Vos v'chal, says Rav Yonos and Apeshitz. He says, sometimes do mitzvot, you have to make sure not to be mechal shem shamayim. Quite the same way that the Sifsi Kohen from Tzvah said there, he said, don't do the mitzvot with an inappropriate kavana. But the Rav Yonos and Apeshitz says, sometimes you do mitzvot, and you know what? Things won't go well for you necessarily. And you say, what's the purpose? Why do these mitzvot? God forbid if a person say like that. Why is Hashem being miyasa me? Aren't I doing his ratzon? So, Shmar to mitzvot saiv asisim asama ni Hashem lo sechalo, do the mitzvot. But if life does not necessarily unfold for you in the fashion that you would have thought initially, if I'm doing the mitzvot, I'm doing good, I should receive good. It doesn't work that way for whatever reason. Then don't be machal Hashem shamayim. Don't regret the mitzvot you did. Don't say this was worthless. And certainly don't say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not running the world. To avoid all taromis, all complaints about the Rabbonu Shel, doesn't mean it's easy. No one says it's easy. It can be very bitter sometimes. It can be very difficult sometimes. But we have to realize that we only see a tip of the iceberg, a tip, literally a tip of the iceberg. We don't see the full picture. I hope that's clear. I hope that's very clear. This is true. This is true. And this is something that, we'll expand upon, but let's just make the point right now. The Torah started out before it wended its way down to make its appearance in our world, in the physical world. It starts off preceding creation as black fire upon white fire. Right? That same Torah is down here in the earth, but we don't see it as black fire upon white fire. We see it in the mitzvahs that we're familiar with. Mitzvahs have to deal with the goof. The malachim also have the Torah. They don't have it in the fact of the fashion of mitzvahs, masios, doing something with goof, because they have no goof. We see a tip of the iceberg in terms of Torah. We see a tip of the iceberg in terms of Hashem's hashgacha. That doesn't mean everything that we see is not understandable, but there are things that we see that are not understandable. There's a difference. I understand what I understand. What I don't understand, I don't understand. If I don't understand, more sophisticated ideas in linear algebra, doesn't mean I don't understand that 2 + 2 = 4. True? Let's proceed. The menorah. Let's now discuss what appears to be the idyllic, the clear world. Things are clear. Towards the end of our parsha here, we have a discussion of the menorah. The menorah makes appearance several times in the Chumash. Really, several times. The menorah, and then immediately after the menorah's discussion of the Lech Matanim. And then finally, the parsha ends with the story of the Megadeth, the one who Chalila, right, Rachmanel's son, cursed towards Shemayim. But here, now we're at the menorah. Vayavar Hashem Moshe le'mor, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, v'ikoy lech Hashem en zayizach, kosis l'mor, la'alos ne'er, tabi, pure oil, take, with which to light the menorah. Michutz la parochas ha'edus, outside of the parochas ha'edus, ba'ol moed yarochoso, outside of the parochas ha'edus, you should arrange the lights of the menorah, set it up properly. Right, Aron, the erev ad boker, so that it should burn from the evening until the morning. Lefnei Hashem, tamid chukos olam adoroseichem, every day, put in enough oil that it should burn from the night until the morning. Says Rashi, why does it say it's in front of the parochas ha'edus, mechutz the parochas ha'edus? So Rashi says, lefnei ha'aron shu korei edus. Before the aron is called the edus. Okay. For Moseinu darshu, right? In other words, we're using the lefnei parochas ha'edus, the menorah is on, in the eichel, it's in the kodesh, the aron is in the kodesh kodashim, you're lighting the menorah in front of the parochas ha'edus. Why is it called parochas ha'edus? Says Rashi, because this is the parochus, this is the door, this is, as it were, the separation between the Kodesh and the place of the Orem, which is Kodesh Kodashim. It's the Orem, which is Kori Edus. Edus. Why is it Edus? It's a testimony that Hashem has brought his Shechina down upon the Jewish people by giving him the Torah. Fine. Rabbeinu Darshu al Ner Marovi. But Rashi brings from the Gemara in Shabbos, the parochas ha'edus, why is it called edus? Because it's referring to the menorah. What was the idea of the menorah? Darsho al ner maravi, shu edus l'chol bayolam, shashchina shor b'Yisrael, shnosein ba'shemen, kemidas chavrosea, u'imena hayamaskil, u'ba hayamisayim. The ner maravi. Let's just say for argument's sake in a moment, so as not to get complicated, because there's discussion which direction the menorah is facing. Is it facing east-west? Is it aligned? It should be east-west, or aligned north-south. Let's assume that it's aligned north-south, just for argument's sake. And the Ner Maravi is the central one. And truth, it doesn't make any difference for our discussion here, but let's just assume that. They would put in the same amount of oil into all of the cups of the menorah, and yet the Ner Maravi, so when Klai Yisrael is fulfilling their job description in the days of Shimon HaTzadik, the Ner HaMaravi stayed lit, even though it had the exact amount of oil as all the other cups. It stayed lit not just to the morning, but until the next evening. It's an Edus, Shashchina Shor B'Yisrael. It is a bizarre sort of statement, really, right? To say that that's why you call it a Parochas HaEdus. Parochas HaEdus, if you think about it, it's a little bit strange. If you're, obviously the most, the deepest, holiest part of the Mishkan is the Kodesh Kodashim. The door, therefore, you should associate with what's on the other side of the door, the entrance, the Parochas, the curtain that's hanging there. Is really should relate to what's innermost, just like if you have a door to your house, you wouldn't say, even if you're standing, I don't know, one side or the other, you wouldn't say, oh, this is the door to the outside. It's just, you don't talk like that. It's the door to the house. Gurari talks about that, and he says, because the nace of the menorah revealed that Hashem Shechina is still amongst the Jewish people. Not just that he gave at one static point the Torah to Klal Yisrael, but that his Shechina remains with us because the Nesu was done with the Ner. That's why the Goraya deals with the issue. Sfasem is over here. He has a more a fundamental question, I should say. Not so much in the text over here, but just a philosophical question. Why do we need this Nesu of the Ner Maravi? It's not as though Kodesh Baruch Hu is, you know, we got to do Nisim all the time. Especially in the Midbar, the idea to see that the Shechina Shor B'Klai Yisrael, goodness gracious, I mean, you saw around them the Shechina Shor B'Klai Yisrael. There's an Amud Anan, there's an Amud Eish, walking, traveling in front of them. They're surrounded by Nisim. They're surrounded by Nisim. Mon, Be'er, Anan Yaakovo, they're surrounded by Nisim. They need one more day. So this is Fasemes. The uniqueness of the Nisim, to show the Shechina Shorei B'Klal Yisrael that Chazal referred to in the Gemara on Shabbos, we say that it's called an Edus, Shechina Shorei B'Yisrael. We see over here that in the act of a bus of a dumb, in the act of a person of flesh and blood, in the act here of the Kohen, right, he can generate Shechina. You know, all the other events of Shechina, Hanan, the Man, the Be'er, Kosh Baruch Hu brings it. Kosh Baruch Hu brings his presence here. You see by his actions, he brings his presence here. Can a person also generate Shechina? Can he cause the Shechina to come upon his action? Yes. That's the Chiddush of the menorah. A person of flesh and blood fills it. A person of flesh and blood lights it. It remains lit for longer than the fuel that is available to the flame actually should maintain. Zeo, ze edus shashchina shoy b'yisrael daika. Let's travel now from the Mishkan to our own homes. What Tzadik says, the Pitzadik says, the Ner Shabbos is ki'inim menoras hamikdash. The Ner of Shabbos, the light, the journey of the Akiras Habayis, lights in the house, is ki'in the menoras hamikdash. It is like the menorah of the mikdash. And it's not just structurally on the outside, she's lighting light, same thing to menorah, very nice, more than that. Halacha is, if you have only enough money to purchase candles, oil for lighting near Shabbos, or Kiddush, Kiddush is deraisa. Spend it on the Neros. Here we have a citation from Hilchos Chanukah. Hilchos Chanukah. Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is pesumei nisur, revealing the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. But if you only have enough money, once again, for Ner Shabbos, for Ner Chanukah, do Ner Shabbos. Shalom bias. Must be light, etc. What is that? Where's the shalom bias there? So we're looking at one in Sota. Darsha Bekiva, Bekiva said, Ish v'ish azachu shechina b'neya, lo zachu eisho chlosa. Kadosh Baruch Hu took his holy name, the Yud, in Ish, and the Hey, and Isha. He split up his holy name, Yud K. He deposited the Yud by the man, deposited the Hey by the woman, deposited the Yud by the husband, deposited the Hey by the wife. If they're Zocher, they become one. It's a Shalom, Shechina B'neihem. Right? Shechina B'neihem. And because the Yud and the Hey are joined together, because they are one. But if, God forbid, they're not Zohar, if there's no Shalom, Hashem should spare us. So Eishol Chlosam, Hashem removes his name. Yud is removed, He has removed. And what's left is Aleph Shin, fire. So, once again, what Tzadik told us, that the parallel in our own homes, our own Mikdash Ma'at, our own homes, the menorah is parallel, I should say, the lighting of the Shabbos candles is parallel to the menorah. In the act of a person, in this case, right, whoever's lighting the candles, it's the wife of the house, she lights the candles, she generates Shechina. She contributes to Shalom, Ish v'Isha Zochum, Shechina b'neihem, Shechina. Shechina. She generates Shechina. It's interesting, just derech agav, as an aside, that in Sefer Shmos, Truma, when we talk about the Mishkan, so there the Shulchan, in terms of the Kelim, precedes the menorah. Here in Parshas Emor, where we're only talking really about the menorah and the shulchan, but the menorah comes first and the shulchan afterwards. And I think there's a relationship here. Like Chazal teaches us in Maseches Avos, Yemein Kemach, that's represented as a word, the shulchan, panasa, shefa, in Torah. Hashem doesn't give us, it's difficult to learn Torah if we don't have a way to physically sustain ourselves. Yemein Torah in Kemach. And by the same token also, if however we're not learning, what's the point of a kemach? There's no point. If we're not committed, if we're not attached, if we're not learning Hashem's Torah, what's the point of the parnasa? Here in Parshas Emor, the menorah comes first. Why? Because it's teaching us Darkei Avodah. This is the way to serve Hashem. Focus on the message of the menorah. Message of menorah is a message really of Torah, seed in Tziv, in Parshas Truma, that the menorah is particularly focused upon the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. If you remember correctly, from the kinos that we say, by Asar Rugi Malchus, when Ishmael, Kohen Gadol, picked up the severed head, the decapitated head of Shimon Gamliel, that the Arurim, they cut his head off. He picked up his head, he referred to it as a menorah hatahora, the holy menorah, because he was the head of the Sanhedrin. Torah Shebaal Peh is represented by the menorah. In our parsha, B'derech Avoda, the way we serve Hashem, to focus when we live our lives, we start with the menorah, and then in turn, we come to the Shulchan. And there's a connection between them. Pasuk says, now with regard to the Shulchan, this is in Parshas Truma, Masat al Shulchan lechem aponim, lechem aponim nefonai tamid. Right? The lechem aponim is upon the Shulchan. Vasisa menorah zav tor miksha tea seha menorah yirecho kanov v'kanov v'yeh kafterel fachem m'meni yu. Right? One solid mass not attached by soldering, one solid mass is the source of the menorah zav. Vasisas neroseh shiva v'helas neroseh v'eir el eivir paneha. And it should shed its light el eivir opposite its punim. So there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim what punim we're talking about here. The Balitosis say, "V'heir al eiver panel keneged hashulchan, shei keneged panel v'heir hashulchan paisa ha'menorah." The light of the menorah is meant to shine upon the shulchan. Interesting, the relationship between Torah, befrat over here, Torah Shebaal Peh, and the shulchan. That's in Parshas Shmos. In Parshas Truma, I should say, Sefer Shmos. Here in our Parsha and Emor, Lakachta Solus Fafisos Ashtemis Re Chalos Shnei Sonim Yachala Echos. Vilakachta. This is right after the discussion of the Menorah. Vilakachta, and you shall take. So it seems to be, even though it's a Parsha to itself, but it seems that the Shulchan, the discussion of the Shulchan, Vilakachta, and you shall take, is somehow connected to the Menorah. Says the Tzura Amor, Gomer Lakachta Solis, the Fisha Amor Lamale, Inin Amenorah Torah. We just finished talking the Menorah. Vilakachta, now you shall take take the flour in order to be able to make the Lechem upon him, which will be upon the Shulchan. Fisha Kosov Lamale, Yikoy Lechashem, Zayasach, Yadush, Zeres La Torah. So this is the relationship, right? Relationship between the Torah and Hashem being Mefarnes Paiso. Well, Fisha Torah Lunivres, Elabishu Yisrael, the Torah Dikres Lechem, Shanem Lechu Lachmu Belachmi. The Iker sustenance of the Jewish people is through the Torah. That's their Iker Lechem. Kilo Lechem Levado Yechia Adam. Not just upon the physical Lechem shall he live. He shall live upon the Iker Lechem, is his connection to Hashem through the Torah. Samach Elav Miav Lekach Tassol Sofiso So Yud Beis Chalos Kenegi Yud Beis Shivtei Yisrael. You're learning my Torah, I will sustain you. I'll be mefarnes you bashkocha pratis. Why? Because you hold in your hand the baton of what man was created for. Right? Man was created to live his life in Torah. But when Rishon dropped that baton, right? And it wasn't picked up. Not by Karen Hevel, not by the door of Enosh, not by the door of Mabul, not by the door of Hafloga, or Palaga, as you prefer. Avraham Avinu picked it up. He passed it to Yitzchak, Yitzchak to Yaakov, Yaakov to Shvatim, Shavtim, to what he called to Shishim, Rebo, Matan Torah, etc. You are living the menorah of the Mefanes Yubashkocha Pratis. Listen to the Malbim, exquisite, exquisite Malbim in his Rimzi and Mishkan, back in Sefer Shmuel's Parshas Truma discusses of the Shulchan. Bashir ze nikra lechem panim, shabam lifnai v'lifnim. It's called lechem panim because it comes bifnim, from the inside. The holy, right, sanctum, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he sends the panas down to Klai Yisrael from a holy, holy place. Shehu poseach yodov mazbiya l'chol chai. Hashem opens up his hands and is mazbiya. Hayasham simen liyodayim, because Hashem is being mazbiya, and he's being mazbiya the entire world, because Pasuk said poseach yodayim mazbiya l'chol chai. But the panas of Klai Yisrael comes from deepest, right, most sanctified place. Why? So listen to what the Malbim says. He says, "Hayasham simen liyadayim, poseach es yodecha, poseach yodav, Hashem's hands." Hatorim b'masha hayu koviyochal. This is an anthropomorphism. We know that Hashem does have hands, but in this way that Hashem transfers in the physical world, just like hands are made for doing pools, the scrolls of passes, right, from the world of the supernal worlds, right, from his rotzon to bring it down into a physical concretization of what we call lechem, panasa, sustenance in this world. The lechem apanim were on the shulchan. And how were they on the shulchan? The shulchan had boards going up, right? What they called this discussion in Rashi, Menachios, Ksavos, etc. And then we had rods, split rods, right? Half a rod, split, going through from one snif, from one panel to the other panel across the, we call it across the shulchan, across the shulchan, right? Snifim, right? Two. There, these two sets of snifim, etc. What do we have? We have three rods, and upon them sat the lechem, three rods, that's 12. And the upper level had two rods, that's 14. Kaminyan yad, just like the word yad is 14, yud and dalet, and just as the joints in the hand. 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 14. 12 and 2 is 14. A lechem elyon nismach b'shtei kanim, right? There's one lechem on the bottom, four on the other levels, etc. And then one on the top. Snifim ayu kenegad zroos olam, giving down, passing onward, the panos of Klai Yisrael, the panos of the shulchan from a very sanctified, innermost sanctum. Why? Because the menorah is shining upon it. It's an idyllic world. Klai Yisrael learns Hashem's Torah, dynamically involved in Hashem's Torah. Madlik, the menorah, the Ner Maravi, under the best of circumstances, remains burning for longer than the fuel should really allow it. It's an ace. It shows the Shechina Shori in the act of a person in Klai Yisrael, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mefarnes Klai Yisrael. Right? In such a spectacular and Hashgacha Pratis oriented fashion. A beautiful world. Shulchan Derech Agav, just as we said before with regard to the menorah, that the menorah was, the menorah, I should say, the Shabbos candles that we light are parallel to the menorah in the Mishkan. The Zohar says that our Shabbos table is parallel to the Shulchan. And if we are misadded the Shabbos table and treat it properly, right, with the oneg, with the kavod that is ratzui, which is desired on Shabbos, then the fact is that fact is that the fact is that that the source of bracha for the entire week. Exquisite, we should say. And this is really the tefillah that every Akeras Abayis says when she lights the Shabbos licht. She lights it with a sense of excitement to do the mitzvah. She prays, she daven's. She says, Yeratzim ufanecha Hashem elokai velokei elosai, shetachonin osi, ishi, vizbonai, avi, imi, vizkol krovain, sitin lonu luchol Yisrael, chayim tovim arukim. That which is necessary for our continued corporeal existence here on earth. He says, kareinu bizichon tovu v'racha. You must be upon us good. Very shulchandik. Sashkin bateinu. Shalom. Sashkin shkinasa beneinu. Getting more menorah oriented. Vizakeni legagel boni muvne boni uchachomim nevoni muavi Hashem yirei elokim anshe'em mezerakol deshva Hashem dveikim v'irim esa olam batorah v'mayas entovim kom leches avodas habori. Shulchan, oriented, panasa, bracha, that which is necessary for us to be able to stride the face of the earth to do Hashem's mitzvahs, and those who learn Torah. Idyllic, parallel to the exquisite Mishkan, the idyllic world. But the world is not always so clear. Nachon? We saw before the Malbim said that the representation of Poseach Shadecho must be the whole Chayrat. It's only seen in the structure of the Shulchan, to Yadayim. Nachon? The Ramush of David Valley, Talmud Muvak of the Ramchal, Psil Sisharim, he asked the question when he's explaining the Sperish on Tehillim. We say Poseach Shadecho must be the whole Chayrat. I beg to differ. You see everybody being sustained with everything that they need? Right? He's not embarrassed to ask. You don't see that. The people who are in tremendous want. Okay. There might even be people, God forbid, who starve. Chalila. Is the pasuk not true? Chas v'sholom. He says, Hashem sends down everything that's needed for mankind. For everyone in mankind, for everything. But, right, it's divided up according to cheshbonos. Sometimes Hashem wishes to give to some people more to see if they will give what the portion that belongs to their friend who's not so quote-unquote fortunate on the surface. Will they give to him? Do they realize that other person's parnas has been deposited by them? And the poor person, there's a reason why he has to go through the trials and tribulations of poverty. Whatever is needed is sent down. Just the dividing up, as it were, the way it's apportioned. There are many cheshbonos involved. And so the world is not always so clear. Is the world b'mishpat, b'tzedek, 100%? But we don't see all the variables involved. So there's an idyllic world that's described by the Mishkan, the relationship between the menorah and the shulchan, as described in the Mishkan. There is the world which is not always so clear because there are other variables involved that makes it difficult for us to see. It obfuscates our view of things. We don't see all of the issues. We don't see all the factors. We don't see, as I said, all the variables. So if it doesn't look so clear to us. But as we saw before, when we started off, Rav Yonasan Emshitz taught us that we must not, as it were, complain about it, doesn't mean, wow, this is terrific, suffering is wonderful. But we have to understand, we don't see everything. Does that mean that what we do see that seems to fit the idyllic picture, only we can assume that? Just as we said before, if you don't understand differential equations, it doesn't mean you don't understand that 2 plus 2 is 4. Nachon. The world is not always so clear. Hold on, though. And this is where we end off the parsha with the unfortunate story of Megadesh. Don't tell us, Rashi brings out the, on the word Vayetze. He brings out one Perush, who is Me'olomo Yatza. He left his world. Because what did he do ultimately? He's cursed towards Shemayim. Another Perush, Machlokis. The story emanated from the Parsha above. Parsha just above the story of the Megadesh, the one who cursed, is the story of the Shulchan. He mocked the Shulchan. Because the halach is, the Gabi Lechem upon him. It was baked on Friday. It was placed upon the table on Shabbos. It wasn't eaten until the following Shabbos. That's 9 days later. He says, this is what you give to the king? 9-day-old bread? He mocked it. And another parish, he was Yosef from the Beis Din of Moshe. Who was he? He was the son of Shlomus Bas Dibri, Lamate Dan. His father was a Mitzri. This Mitzri had taken advantage of Shlomus Bas Dibri. She didn't even realize it wasn't her husband. He forced her husband out of the house to go work. And when he knew that her husband was in the fields working under the taskmaster, he took advantage of Shlomus Bas Dibri. And so the son of an Egyptian father, he came, he wanted to put his tent by Machane Dan. He wanted to put his tent by Machane Dan. They said, oh, sorry, it goes according to your father. You're Jewish, but you can't be over here because this Shemayim is meant to be only for those who can trace their ancestry back to one of the Shvatim, on the father's side. So you're Jewish, you're 100% Jewish. He went to Beis Din, he lost. And this is where it starts. And unfortunately, we've seen this a lot of times, too many times. Hashem should spare us. Hashem should have rachmonas on children. It starts with the hashgacha is unfair. It's particularly unfair. The meshiloch, the Ishbitzer said, because over here he was mechav l'shem shemayim. He wanted to be close. He wanted to be right there amongst all the shvatim, close to Hashem. He felt this was the right thing. He felt it was the right thing to be close to Hashem. But he's rejected. And as Mr. Miami's rejected. Hashgach is unfair. I want to come close. You're pushing me away. What's the story? What's happening here? Why are you doing this? You get angry. And then you begin to mock the Torah. You know, your rules don't make any sense. 9-day-old bread. That makes sense. Honor the king on his table. Bread baked on Friday. Only consumed 9 days later. Nonsense. And from there, it descends, God forbid, to Giduf. Chas v'chalila. That's the path. That's the unfortunate path. And Alzeh Meshiloch says, Alzeh nichta parshas makalo, haros ad heichan tzorech ha'odem harchik atzmo mikomini taromos. Person has to distance himself from any sort of complaint. After Israel. He wanted to be close. He wanted to be close. Hashem pushes me away. Why is he pushing me away? That makes no sense. Why is he pushing me? I'm trying to come close. And then he mocked. Upon him, and then he cursed. And continues the Ishbitzer, the Meshiloch. He says, Af im Hashem Yisbarach Yidcha Oso. Referring to the Megadeth, referring to anybody who feels like, God forbid, Hashem has put stumbling blocks in front of him in order to come close. And he turns his eyes heavenward and he says, what's the story? I'm trying to come close, you're pushing me away, why? You hate me. Afim Hashem Yisbarach Yidcha Oso Me'eze Tova. He's preventing him from coming, not just financial Tova. But he thinks it's even spiritual Tova. Yikra, right? Me'ezet Tova b'zeh atzmo yikra over Hashem. If he accepts it, there's a reason for it. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. But there's a reason for it. I know Hashem loves me. I know there must be a reason for it. I would have expected under better circumstances for my benevolent parent to wake him up in the morning with a kiss. But if he gives me a slap, I know there must be a reason. And so I accept it. I'm not saying any of this is easy. That would be pompous and hypocritical to the nth degree on my part. But it is the truth. It's not easy, but it's the truth. Me'ez tova b'zeh atzmo yikre over Hashem. Sometimes part of the Avodas Hashem is accepting Hashem's imposed distance. B'mesh marchik atzmo al piratzan Hashem Yisbarach. Yizkila tova gdola. And a person will be zochet to incredible good through this. Gon balmum mi zera aron. Just like a balmum through zera aron also in our parsha. Right? B'zeh atzmo hayazochila tova gdola. Sometimes, right, we like to, unfortunately, it's in vogue today, feel spirituality. So if it's not on our terms, there's something wrong with the source itself, God forbid. But that's the difference between Avodas Hashem and spirituality. Avodas Hashem is doing Hashem's Ratzon. Are there times it's sweet? Yes. Are there times it's exhilarating? Yes. Are there times it is clear? Yes. Are there times when it's murky? Yes. Are there times when, even though you might know it's good, but it's very bitter? Yes. Yes. So we've seen the idyllic picture, that in the Mishkan, that which we try to replicate in our own homes. We spoke about Halakas Neros, the Tefillah. It said, the relationship between the menorah and the aron, and we've spoken about sometimes when things are not so clear, because once again, we're not the creator. We are his creations. We see a part of the picture. When the picture is clear, we can assume that our brains are functioning right, and we understand what we're seeing. When the picture is not so clear, we have to realize that we don't necessarily have the sort of vision to be able to see all the variables, all the data, all the causes, and accept and know that while it might be bitter, but nonetheless, everything Hashem does is b'tzedek b'mishpat. Again, Hashem, he should bless all of his children. He should give us the clarity, right, to be able to see, to understand, and if, right, we should always be spared, but if for whatever reason events take place that are difficult, he should give us the strength to remember that which we learned from his parsha. We don't see the whole picture, and the acceptance sometimes is the greatest of Avodas Hashem, even though on the surface it appears as though we're being more distanced from Hashem. But that acceptance is the greatest act of Rosh Hashem that a person can do. We shall always be blessed, all us and all of Klal Yisrael. Right. Have a great Shabbos. Be well. Be well.